Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Our Lady of Guadalupe. This is the story of a humble man who loved God, who loved his son, and who loved Our Lady.
Juan? Is that you, Juan?
Oh, Antonio, I'm sorry that my moving about the room has wakened you. I'm starting now for the church.
But it's still dark.
I know the way. And there'll be morning stars to guide me, Antonio.
This December wind is cold.
I have my cloak. I'll wrap it close about me.
And you're no longer young, Juan Diego. And this tramping the miles to go to what the Spaniards call a mass.
This walk is nothing. Why, when my wife Maria was still alive, we lived 15 long miles from the church.
And walked it regularly.
Yes. For 7 years, I have crossed the hill to worship as the Padres taught me. Ever since the year of our Lord, 1524. Antonio, I was one of the first to be baptized in the faith which the Spaniards brought to Mexico.
I know, but even so, you must take care. Someday, as you cross that mountain top...
What could happen to me on a mountain top? I'm an Indian, poor, no longer young. What could happen to me? What could possibly happen to me?
Something did happen to Juan Diego that December morning, more than 4 centuries ago. Perhaps it was because of what his friend Antonio had told him before he left the small house. Perhaps it really was unusually bleak that morning. But at any rate, the way seemed very long. Long and cold. He wrapped his cloak about him, but the wind cut through and seemed to bite into his flesh. The stones were sharp, too. They bruised his feet, covered only by the soft leather of the huaraches he had made. But more frightening than all was a strange, mocking voice that seemed to come from the wind.
Go back, Juan Diego. Go back to your home.
Miserable as he was, Juan bent his head against the bitter air and continued to climb the steep, barren hillside.
The wind. It takes one's breath away. It's never seemed this cold before. The hill has never been so steep. It's never looked so cruel, so ugly. But I won't turn back. I won't.
Juan kept on, slowly, steadily, but suddenly he stopped, for the darkness had lifted, and with the flood of light had come music. Soft, sweet music. Celestial music. For a moment, Juan Diego stood still, too startled to speak, too startled to think. Then,
what is it? What's happened? Am I dreaming? Have I died? Who is playing that music? Where am I?
Juan Diego, do not be afraid.
But who are you? Where are you?
I am here, at the top of the hill. Come up. Come up to me.
I see you now. I shall be there at once. I heard the music and saw the great light, but at first I did not see you.
Where are you going, my son?
Why, I'm going to the church. I always go at this time. But this morning, I...
Yes. What were you going to tell me about this morning?
I was going to say that it was cold, and that the wind had voices that tried to tell me to turn back. But here on the hilltop, the world is very bright. The bare trees seem to have turned to gold. That mesquite is like emerald, and...
Yes, Mom.
This place has never been so beautiful before. Not even in spring. You are beautiful, too. More beautiful than anyone I've ever seen. Who are you?
I am Mary, Queen of Heaven, and there is a message I want you to deliver for me.
Mary, Queen of Heaven. Yes. Yes, my lady. Anything you tell me shall be done.
Go to the bishop in the city of Mexico and tell him I have been watching over my people here in this newly discovered land. Tell the bishop that here, at this spot where you and I spoke, he is to build a church where those who love my son and me may come to invoke my help in time of trial or sorrow.
You want me to go to the bishop, my lady? Well, he's such a great man.
Do not be afraid, my son.
I'm not afraid. But wouldn't the bishop be more willing to listen if one more worthy were to carry your message?
Go and do your best, Juan. And I will be grateful and reward you. Do you remember the message?
Yes, my lady. I'll go at once.
That knocker, there's always someone pounding at the outer door.
Yes, and at this hour. Don't answer it, Carlos. Pretend you didn't hear.
I can't do that. I'm the major domo for the bishop, and he has given orders that everyone is to be admitted. All right. Give me time to open the door. Oh, so it's you doing all the pounding. Well, what is it?
Is this
the bishop's palace.
This is the palace of Don Fray Juan de Zumarrage, first bishop of Mexico, yes?
I have a message for the bishop.
So? Well, he's busy now. Why don't you leave the message with me and go on your way?
I don't think the lady would want me to give it to you, only to the bishop.
No, it's from a lady, and too important for my ears. Well, the bishop is busy.
I can wait.
He is...
May I sit down? I've come a long way.
You might as well let him sit down.
It's something unimportant. If I keep him standing, he may grow tired and go on his way.
I will wait, even if I have to stand. The lady told me to give the message to the bishop. I must wait until I do.
Well, all right. Come into the patio and sit down. The bishop will see you presently.
Now, I don't quite understand your story, my son. Your name is...
My name is Juan Diego, and I have been living in Tepeyac.
And this morning, when you were on your way to Mass, you met a beautiful lady who told you she wanted a church built on the summit of the hill you were climbing. Is that all?
Yes, yes, Your Excellency. I was climbing the hill. It was cold and bare.
Hills are apt to be cold and bare at this season of the year.
But suddenly there was a great light and music. And then I saw the lady. It was the Blessed Virgin. And she told me to give the message to you.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Juan Diego. I will think about all you've told me.
But you will build a church, won't you, Your Excellency?
I hope to build many churches. Now, if you'll excuse me.
You don't believe me, do you? None of you believe me. You're all laughing. Laughing at me. I knew I'd find you here, my lady. I went to the bishop. I gave him the message. He didn't believe me. He was kind, but the others, they laughed at me. The fine ladies and gentlemen, the servants, everyone, they laughed at me. I can still hear them. The bishop was kind. He spoke softly. But he thought I was just an old man who dreamed up a wild story. Oh, you should have sent someone better able to talk to the bishop.
No, my son. You are the one to carry the message. Go to the bishop again tomorrow. Give him my message again. And when you have talked with him, come back.
He is still waiting, that Indian.
I know.
But Carlos, it is almost noon. He's been here for 2 hours. Soon it'll be time for the siesta.
No, what of it? The bishop has no interest in that fellow. Besides, this is Sunday morning, and the bishop has had a lot of callers since he said Mass.
But Juan Diego looks so tired and so patient. Perhaps I could persuade him to go away.
Well, you can try. There he is. He wouldn't leave for me.
The bishop is still engaged, and there are other callers waiting.
I will wait, Senora.
Would you like to leave your message with me, or come back some other day?
The message is for the bishop. I will wait.
But you don't understand. It may be several hours before His Excellency can see you.
I understand, Senora. I will wait.
As you wish. But I think you're a stupid fellow. It may be hours. It may be until tomorrow before the bishop is free.
Well, Juan Diego, you're back again. 3 o'clock, and they tell me that you've been waiting since 10.
The waiting is nothing, Your Excellency. Now that you have let me talk with you.
You told me your story yesterday. I said that I would think over what you said.
I am so unworthy, Your Excellency.
Your Excellency, if I could only make you understand.
But I do understand, and I promise you to think.
It was the Queen of Heaven who sent me.
You told me about it yesterday.
You must build a church on the top of the hill. She wants a place where all her children can come to her for help. She told me so. She told me I must tell you.
Calm yourself, Juan Diego.
I asked her to find a messenger more worthy.
Calm yourself.
I will try to be calm, Your Excellency. But...
Juan?
Yes, Your Excellency.
You saw no lady on a hilltop.
But I did. She called me. Gave me that message.
The Queen of Heaven would hardly have come to you, Juan. If the Virgin Mary wishes a temple built, she would have commanded one of those who are able to build it for her.
Yes. Yes, Your Excellency. I told her it would have been better to have sent someone else, not a poor man who's growing old. I told her last evening when I went back to tell her what you said.
Wait a minute. You say you went back to the hilltop after you left here yesterday and saw this lady you talk of?
She asked me to come back here again today.
I see.
She will ask me to tell her all that has been said and done here at your palace.
Juan, if... Why, I can hardly believe that you have talked with the Queen of Heaven, but if this vision is not a part of your imagination, bring me a sign.
A sign?
To prove that your message is true.
Your Excellency, that will be easy. What sign do you wish? I am sure that the lady will give me any I ask for.
Any sign she sends will be acceptable.
Yes. Yes, Your Excellency. And now may I go?
No, of course you may go. Carlos.
Yes, Your Excellency.
You heard the way he spoke about the sign?
You think he may be telling the truth, Your Excellency?
I hardly know what to think. Get Ramon and follow Juan Diego to the hilltop. And then hurry back and tell me what you see. Hurry now. Go. Go quickly. You come in. Oh, it's you, Carlos. What news have you?
The man is a fraud, Your Excellency. Ramon was with me. Juan Diego is in league with the devil.
But exactly what happened?
We followed him at a distance, kept him in sight as far as the ravine this side of Tapayac. Then he disappeared in a mist.
A mist? Mid-afternoon.
It was close to the ravine. At one moment, the sky was blue and fair, and then suddenly we were walking in a thick fog.
And you lost Juan?
We went back and forth along the path calling to him. But there was no answer. It was the Prince of Hell who sent that mist, Your Excellency. It must have been the devil. When the mist lifted, Juan was nowhere in sight.
Lost in a sudden mist? Sorcery. But... Juan seemed such a simple fellow, so honest.
If it wasn't the devil who hid him from us, who else could it have been?
Who could it have been?
You have done well, my son. And tomorrow there will be a sign for you to give the bishop. Go now and rest, but come again tomorrow morning, and I will give you a sign.
Juan? Juan Diego?
Yes, yes, I'm here, Antonio. What's happened?
Calamity has come to your family, Juan. While you've been wandering about in the mountains, your Uncle Bernardino has been stricken with a fever.
Bernardino with the fever? The plague? Are you sure?
The village doctor has given him strong herbs, but death comes closer each hour.
But only last evening when I stopped at his house, he was well.
The plague strikes swiftly. He knows the end is near, and he's been asking for you. You were always his favorite.
And he was mine. Next to my wife, I loved Bernardino better than anyone else on earth. It was to be near him that I left my own village after my wife died. I'll go to him.
The stars are growing pale.
Yes.
Bernardino is no better.
Sometimes toward morning, the fever leaves, but not his.
No. No, it is not left.
Juan. Juan, are you there?
Yes, my uncle. Here. Here is a cloth wet with water from the spring. A cold will ease the pain of your head.
Only death will ease this pain, Juan. Soon it will be growing light.
Yes, my uncle.
You go across the mountain to the church. Find the padre. Ask him to come here.
He's right, Juan.
It is time to call in the padre.
Over the mountain. I'd almost forgotten. I was to meet someone on the hilltop this morning.
But you mustn't go to the hilltop this morning. You must hurry to the padre. You must bring the padre at once. Promise.
Juan Diego, my son, where are you going? Why do you hurry past? Why have you made me come down from the hilltop to talk with you?
I'm sorry, my lady, but my uncle, a good man who has loved your son, is dying, and I must get the padre. I will come to you this afternoon, or surely tomorrow.
Don't be troubled, my son. Bernardino will not die. When you reach home again, you will find that at this very hour, the fever has left him. You do not doubt me, do you, my son?
Oh, no, my lady.
And now, go to the hilltop. And there you will find the sign to take to the bishop.
But the bishop must see me. He told me yesterday to bring him a sign.
And you have one? What is it?
It is for the bishop.
The bishop is busy.
I have waited before.
Are you hiding something in your cloak? Let me see it.
No. Take your hand from my cloak.
Carlos, I think you had better take him to the bishop at once. There's something different about the man today. It may be that he really has a sign.
Yes. Yes, he is different. Bolder. You may come with me now. This way. In this door.
Well, Juan?
I have the sign, Your Excellency. See. Here in my cloak, these yellow Castilian roses. I gathered them on the hilltop, on the spot where my lady wants you to build a church.
Yellow roses on a hilltop in December?
My lady told me to knot my cloak at the back of my neck so that it hung like an apron, and then fill it with roses. Did you ever see anything more beautiful?
But, Juan, that painting on your cloak, how did it get there? A beautiful painting on the rough cloth of your cloak.
I don't know, Your Excellency. When I had gathered the roses, she touched my cloak. Oh, the painting is of my lady, as I saw her on the hilltop. The robe is rose-colored like hers. The mantle is blue. And those golden rays, they're like the light that was all around her as she stood there. She has put the picture there as a sign.
Juan, and I doubted you. God forgive me. Our Lady forgive
you. Your Excellency, you do believe me now, don't you? You will build her a church.
I do believe. And I will build a church and worship there. All of the Americas will worship there. Open wide the doors, Juan. Let them come from all parts of the palace so that all may know.
More than 400 years have passed since the bishop led the first joyful procession to the hilltop where Juan Diego received the message from the Queen of Heaven and gathered roses in December.
She is to be called Our Lady of Guadalupe, Your Excellency.
Guadalupe? But why that name, Juan Diego?
The lady appeared to my uncle Bernardino, and even as she spoke to him, his fever vanished, and she told him that when the shrine was built and the painting she placed on my cloak was hung there, she was to be called Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness first of Mexico, then by the Pope's decree of all of the Americas.